I said, Burr.
Boy, really, snowing like a banshee out there, too. No, that's ridiculous. Banshees may have many properties. Wailing, shrieking, moaning, etc. Whirling. But snowing is not a dervish-related attribute. You need some sort of foghorn, leghorn figure of speech here. But that would be ridiculous, because foghorn, leghorn was a southern chicken. And I don't imagine that southern chickens would have many expressions for the kind of snow that's coming down out there now. And coming down it is. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the diner. I'm James Lilax, sitting here now, comfortably, again, at my accustomed place, at the long boomerang pattern formica counter at the diner on old Highway 23. Old Highway 23, mind you. About 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at the very moment. It may, granted, take you a little bit more than 18 and a half minutes to get here. Not likely. That seems to be the median time no matter what, but the roads are rather treacherous. Almost put the car in the ditch two times getting here. There's that wonderful, oh my God, moment when the back wheels are not going in the same direction as the front wheels, and you try to remember your training. What did they train you? Steer into a curve, starve a fever, or something like that, and you just try to resist your temptation, which is, of course, to spin the wheel wildly around and to jam on the brakes. Now, if you have those anti-lock brakes have been specially designed to scare the living hell out of you if you're in trouble, because if you depress them all the way down and they go through the anti-locking spasm, you get this brrrr sound, which just essentially tells you that you're dead. I mean, it's just, if that sound is coming from the car, then there is no possible good conclusion to come out of this. But it's never happened to me, actually. I've never had a wintertime accident. Knock on formica. Anyway, here I am, and it's cold, and it's snowy, and it feels like January. Nothing much really has changed around the diner. Not that I expected it would, but as we were talking about last week, the diner has been sold. We don't know to whom yet. We just know that sometime in March, the ownership of the diner is going to change over to somebody else. And what this means, we've no idea. Some folks are saying, well, they're going to sell the land. Because, frankly, the diner's sitting on a huge part of land. There's the parking lot out front. There's the back, which goes down to Lake Lalaque, which I suppose could be redeveloped for some sort of resort area, but it's not as though the rest of Lake Lalaque is exactly busting with tourist trade, especially this time of year. And if they did sell the parking lot, well, how much money can you get for a cracked asphalt lot in the middle of a fairly abandoned highway? Well, I don't know about that. Advertising is possible. For example, I'm sure they could sell seat licenses for all the stools here at the diner, and they could position little ads so that when people spun around on the seats, you'd see different ads. That would be a way to maximize the revenue stream. Isn't it interesting, really, how diner seats go all the way around? It's an invitation when you're a kid to vomiting. Really, I mean, perhaps not everybody, but in my time, when I was a young boy, we'd go down to the laundry's basement in Fargo, North Dakota, and have a department store hamburger, which was really a treat. Most of the places downtown Fargo actually had grills. The Woolworths had a grill, the drugstore had a grill, and the basement was always thus suffused with a wonderful smell of roasting, sundered, rendered, processed cow, and the buttered buns that sat on the grill for a while so they got nice and crispy. And that smell was heaven. That was perfume, and every store you walked into really had that coming from the basement. And I'd go down there and have that and a black cow with my mom after we'd done shopping. And then after I'd filled my stomach with all manner of grease and sugar, I would spin around and around and around and around on the stool until, of course, the gorge began bolting up the throat and you were sick and you wanted to go home and lie down and have some 7-Up. 7-Up being the universal medicine in those days for upset stomachs. You like it? It likes you. You don't like it? It still likes you. It's that way. And don't you feel a little bit guilty? The fact that it likes you, but you don't like it in that way? You know, how do you let down 7-Up gently? I like you, I don't like you that way. Anyway, so the stools go all the way around, and they could put advertising on the sides. They could put advertising in the menus. They could put advertising up the chalkboard, which right now reads nothing. Interesting. Well, we'll be between meals, I guess. They could put, I don't know, they could slather the waitress in NASCAR-like stickers. For that matter, they could cover the entire diner in these wraps that they have around buses nowadays, buses and trains. In Minneapolis, and no doubt in other cities, vehicles of a public transportation nature are wrapped with these gigantic ads that just make them look incredibly cool. And you, for example, you will see this a gigantic iPod ad. Looks like this, you know, like a piece of Lego from the Land of the Giants, just moving silently down the rails as it goes to deliver its 17 people to the other end of town. It's quite interesting. So they could do that with the diner. They could do all manner of things, or they could cut it up for scrap. But we won't think that, will we? Then, of course, there's the matter of the giant Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future. Yes, that's exactly what I said. If you were with us last week towards the end, I'm not exactly still sure what happened, but a giant Pillsbury robot Terminator creature from the future stamped its way across the parking lot and disappeared into the woods. And my speculation was that I had sent it in the future to go back and stop the diner from being sold. Now, I have no idea how I am to do this, because I'm not really skilled in the ways of time travel. Done it once, and that was with the help of Jeremy, the dark chef, who used to work behind the grill, and who, frankly, well, he vanished about 3 years ago. We haven't heard from him since. He was the only one who really knew how to operate the Tesla coils. So, it's not me who's doing it. It's not like I came to the diner today with a suitcase full of robot parts and, you know, and prosthetic special limbs with microchips in them that I could assemble into a Pillsbury Doughboy robot from the future. Now, technically, of course, this is the future. That last week was the present. That's now the past. So, I guess I'm already behind, so to speak. Well, there's nothing that says that you have to, the future has to happen all at once. You know, that's frankly one of the things that people like about the future. It's well spaced, fairly regular. Oh, it's cold. Anyway, well, what should we do today? I haven't the faintest idea. I've just been running all over the place. I actually was delayed at the office momentarily because I had to write a biography, or rather, an obituary for Art Buchwald. Now, at the risk of repeating myself here and saying essentially what I said in the paper, when I went to D.C., I went to D.C. to kill Art Buchwald. So to crush him, I was going to take his place. There could only be one D.C. humorist, and I'm waggling my fingers in the ironic sense here because, of course, humorist is a horrible job description. It's a fairly subjective thing. And anybody who calls themselves a humorist is pretty much asking for people to walk up and say, you know what? You're not. It's not like that with other professions. People are an engineer. They're an engineer. Nobody ever walks up and says, I don't find your engineering very engineer-y. You know, but a humorist, you know, you hit some people right, you hit the others wrong. So I was going out there to be a humorist, and since Art was the man, I had to topple Art somehow, claw my way onto his space on the Washington Post. When would I meet him? At what swank soiree? At what event? When would I bump into Art Buchwald at the correspondence dinner, perhaps? At some White House function where I could give him a steely glaze and say, watch your back, old man. I didn't know anything about him, really. Except that Art Buchwald was, of course, the D.C. humorist, and had been so for 40, 45, 50, 60, 70, I think 135 years or something. So I'm in the office, my first day in Washington, D.C., and Art Buchwald walks in the door. It was hard to mistake him. Everybody knew what his picture looked like. And as I said in the piece, he hailed from the Lou Grant era of round, rumpled newsmen. White shirt with a tail sort of bloused out. Big, thick, knotted tie, half loosened. And he said, in that inimitable high voice, which I'm going to prove isn't inimitable by insufficiently imitating it, "Where's the bathroom key?" And I was stunned, because I thought, of course, that Art Buchwald would be working at the Washington Post, would have an office on the top floor, and would look down on D.C. and cogitate his wry asides. But it turned out, no, he rented an office next to ours at the Bureau, and we shared a bathroom, and he'd misplaced his key, and periodically came into our office to request the use of our key. Well, introduced myself, said some, stammered out some nice words, and he stood there and talked to me for a while. Even though it was quite apparent that he had some place to go, he had places to go and things to do, shall we say. But I realized right on the spot that he was just a hell of a guy. He was just a great guy. Everybody loved art. So I wrote that for the paper. That was my daily accomplishment, I guess. And then sped here too quickly. Anyway, so I wonder if there's anything on the jukebox. What are the chances Art just died? What are the chances that they got to the jukebox here before I got here and found something Buchwald related? Let me take a look here. I'm going to stab at random. Random stabbing brings up E12.
My kisses are exciting as you claim. Would you put that down in writing and autograph it with your name? You have told me I'm a picture that your arms would like to frame. Would you care to paint that picture and autograph it with your name? I have heard your proposition. Must I listen to that again? I don't mind the repetition. Why don't you say it with a fountain pen? Though your offer is inviting, I'd feel better just the same when you put that down in writing. If matrimony is your aim, autograph it with your name.
That wasn't really Art Buchwald related, was it? I mean, put it down in writing you could use for the obituary of any writer, but it's not like there were any offers of matrimony tendered. Although, who knows, some of those holiday parties got pretty wild and swinging. There's a UPS guy here. And he's heading my way. Is that for me? Really? That's odd. I don't get stuff here. Maybe somebody sent me some cigars. Oh, right, sign. Sorry, okay, sorry. All right, thank you. Huh. Well, it's a box, obviously. Let me get out my trusty penknife. Now, let's downgrade that. Let's just call it my penknife, because frankly, it's been known to let me down from time to time. I'm hearing that before. It's like there's a bug in here somewhere. Well, the only reason that's unusual is it's January. There aren't any bugs at all around. They're all dead in suspended animation waiting for the healing touch of spring. Anyway, let's open the box here. Newspaper. Somebody sent me some newspaper crumpled up. Oh, yay!
my God.
It's a small Pillsbury Doughboy.
Get out.
What am I supposed to do with this? Who sent it? Is there a note here? There's no note. There's just newspaper. Wait a minute. I'm looking at the paper here. Art Buchwald memorialized in service. Wait a minute. Art Buchwald died today. How can the newspaper from something that was sent... let me check the postmark on this box. There's no postmark on it. How can something sent a couple of days ago have mention of Art Buchwald's memorial service, which hasn't happened yet? Oh my God, this newspaper says... January 24th, 2007. It's a newspaper from the future. I wonder if my column's in it. Yeah, there it is. I haven't written that one yet. That's the one I'm supposed to write tomorrow. Well, that'll make tomorrow morning easier. I'll just type that up. So this is from the future, then. Some... Buddy sent me the Pillsbury Doughboy from the future, but it's not a killer robot. It's just a little cute, squeezable Pillsbury Doughboy. It's adorable. But it does make sense. I mean, why would somebody from the future send me the Pillsbury Doughboy when there's already a Pillsbury Doughboy 9-foot Terminator robot out there? Wait a minute. The newspaper. Check it. Oh, didn't include the stocks. What sort of person sends you a newspaper from the future and doesn't include the stock market table? I mean, there's nothing here. Just a little box saying the markets are still closed following the attack. Big help, that is. All right. Well, there's nothing I can do about it now. Just have to wait for things to play themselves out in the future. Which, of course, is where most studies show the majority of things that have not yet happened happen. Right. Although I have to admit, it is sort of fun to have a little doughboy sitting here on the counter. He's so adorable. You just want to reach out and poke him in his little tummy. Now, like this. Whoa. I didn't expect that. Let's try that again. It feels like there's something hard in inside of his tummy, his stomach. It's not often you find yourself palpating a Pillsbury Doughboy for some hidden substance. Oh, okay. All right, I'm seeing on the back here, it looks like there's some sort of a memory chip port, like you'd have in a digital camera or something like that. Huh. Of course, if it was a Sony memory stick, I'd know it wasn't from the future. Nobody in the future is going to have those things. Huh, interesting. All right, I need a mental palate cleanser here. I'm just going to punch up something here at random at the jukebox and see where luck takes me. Let's go to M6.
Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland.
Is that? Right by my ear. Well, that was right. I want something up-tempo. I want something popular. I want something fast and hard. Let's try C2.
Thank you.
chair. No, I...
Not falling off my chair because of an excess of enthusiasm. I was spinning around. You know how you spin around on a diner seat sometimes and you make yourself sick? And I spun, and even though this chair goes all the way around, this time it didn't. I mean, I was spinning, I was going around and around and around, and then it just all of a sudden stopped, and centrifugal force threw me out of the floor. And now I'm sort of moving. The chair seems to be stuck. There's something under it that locked it in place. Let me see if I can just get it out here. There. Small metal box. Well, that wasn't there just a minute ago. Alright, I'm gonna try to open this thing up here. First, a word from our sponsor.
Happy little wash day song, for a wash that's whiter and brighter than new. Rinso washes, Rinso new, Rinso white.
Whiter than new,
Rinso bright.
Brighter than new,
Rinso white, Rinso bright.
Rinso new,
Rinso new. It's an amazing fact. 1950 Rinso with Solium gets white clothes whiter, washable colors brighter than new. Rinso new. Even on rainy days, Rinso puts sunshine in your wash. No other soap can make your wash so white, so bright, because no other soap contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. 1950 Rinso gets out more dirt. Yes, gets out more dirt than any other type of wash day product. And yet Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to your hands. Get Rinso today. See your wash become whiter, brighter than new.
Rinso white, Rinso bright,
Rinso new.
Happy little wash day song.
I can't get this little box open. I haven't the faintest idea how it works. So, you know, never mind all that. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. Let's do something else. Let's answer some mail. How long has it been since I actually checked the mailbox here? Well, we used to have a theme for the mail, but I hated it from day one. So I see a couple other letter-themed tunes in the jukebox here. Well, we'll preview them together. Here's the first one. What do you think?
Today, I have waited since dawn. I've waited each day since you have been gone. No letter today.
No. It would make no sense to have a letter reading segment with a theme that bemoaned the absence of such letters. So let's try another one here. Again, I have no idea what this is. I hope it's better.
Dear Hitler, I wrote you a letter.
Okay, never mind. Forget it. I'll look for one myself, and I hope we'll have it by next week. In the meantime, let's read these. Gosh, two letters. What do you know? First one is from Mrs. Elmer Benson of Minot, North Dakota. Dear Mr. Lilix, oh, she spelled it right. I'm just presuming that she mispronounced it. We used to have a diner in the town where I grew up, but when I was a little girl, it burned down. Sincerely, Mrs. Elmer Benson. Hey, well, thank you for sharing, Mrs. Benson. All right, here's the other one. No stamp. No return address. It just says James on it. Well, let's see. It's typed. It says, look at the menu chalkboard. All right. It says, today's special. Rub box with thumb in counterclockwise motion. Who wrote that? Well, all right, let's try it. Whoa, it's popped right open. There's a chip inside. And the chip seems to be about the same size as the slot in the back of the Pillsbury Doughboy. Well, obviously I've got to put it in. No! No, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's how it starts. Or maybe that's how it's prevented. I don't know. Oh. Well, obviously something has been set in motion, and I don't know exactly what it is. And all I can do is the stupid thing and put it in the back of the Pillsbury Doughboy. His eyes just lit up. And now they're blinking as though transmitting some sort of code. And I'm starting to feel a rumble in the... You feel that? Oh my god. Not again. Here it comes. The 9-foot-tall Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future. It stopped. And now the eyes of the robot outside are flashing in perfect sync with the eyes of the smaller Pillsbury Doughboy unit that I got from UPS from the future today, if you know what I mean. And now it's starting to move. It's moving off again. It's moving toward the road. My god, the road with the traffic. All that traffic. All that snow. The cars are starting to brake. Cars are starting to turn away out of the skid. Out of the... No. Into the skid. Turn into the skid. Oh, god. Well, I better go see if anybody is hurt and needs help. All I can say is that for somebody who's been doing his darndest not to enable the work of a future killer doughboy robot, I've been doing a pretty lousy job of it! Well, that's it for today. Tune in next week when I mistakenly hand the giant robot a nuclear trigger. Thanks for stopping by, folks. I'm James Lalix. This has been The Diner for Friday, January 19th, 2007. We'll see you down the road.
Oh, Daddy, that toy is so cute. Can I play with it?
Sure, hon. Sure. No!